Open your Bibles this morning, please, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll go down to verse 9 to begin our scripture reading, but the first 8 verses of this set the scene for us. Jesus has taken his disciples out to Mount Olivet, to the east of Jerusalem. And he's teaching them there. And as he speaks to them, verse 9 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." I've preached this message before, but during the past 60 years of ministry, I've preached more than one before. But this is one I especially like, and this is a message that all of us need to hear, even more than once. Some of you may have not heard it before. We ask the question in the text of our message, where is heaven? Now let's get serious about this, because every last one of us here entertain the hope of going to heaven when we die. But there's not a single solitary one of us here that knows where it is. But I want to talk to you about heaven and about going there, because the immortal souls of men, life after death, infinity, eternity, these subjects are extremely important. They're very serious issues. What's going to happen to us when we die? Because we know that we're all going to die sooner or later. It's appointed unto man once to die. I'm sure that given a preference, when it's all over, we'd prefer to wind up in heaven rather than in hell. Heaven has been around for a long, long time. I've heard about it all of my life, and I'm over 80 years old already. God's Word teaches us that when a saved person dies, he goes to heaven. That's what I believe, and that's what I preach. But how does one get to heaven? I know how Elijah got there. God sent down a fiery chariot drawn by horses of fire, and he went up in a whirlwind. I know how Jesus went up. He described it in the words of our text. He ascended. Gravity just loosed him, and he began to go up. But where is it? How do we get off this planet Earth to begin with? If you don't know the answer to these questions already, you'd best be finding out, because pretty soon the days of our life are going to be over on this earth, and we're going to join the countless billions of people who have already died and gone out into eternity. Where is heaven? How do we get there? Heaven is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible speaks of heaven. And then it's mentioned 738 more times in the Bible. Songs have been written about it. Sermons have been preached about it. Poems have been written about it. Books have been written about it. But just how familiar are we with this place called heaven? Is it a real place? Or is it just a fanciful, fictitious, fabricated figment of our imagination? Is it an imaginary dream? First, let me call your attention to the fact that according to the Bible, there's more than one. Which one are you going to when you die? There's more than one. From Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, the word is heavens. It's got an S on the end of it. When I went to school, they taught us that if you put an S on the end of a word, it makes it plural. And plural means more than one. When he talks about heavens, there's more than one. In fact, you'll find heavens 133 times in your Bible, plural. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one, he says, caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven. So from this verse we learn two things. First of all, that heaven is up. He was caught up. And we also learn there are at least three of them. Now that word up can be sort of confusing, because in some parts of the world, up is down. This earth is round. And you look at a ball, something round, an object that's round. Where's up? If we didn't lie down to sleep at night, we'd spend half of our lives standing with our heads upside down. Jesus spoke of ascending up to heaven. And he also spoke of descending or coming down from heaven. By the way, heaven is not the new Jerusalem that John writes about in the book of Revelation. Heaven and the new Jerusalem are two different places. He speaks of, and I quote, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Descending is coming down. So it's coming down from heaven, from God. And he wrote, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So the New Jerusalem and heaven are not, they're two different things. Now let's get technical. When Jesus was talking about heaven being up, where was he at the time? He was in Jerusalem, wasn't he? In Israel. On the other side of the world from us. And if someone in Jerusalem today stands out in the middle of the street and raises his hand like this and says, "That is up," did you know that he's pointing in the exact opposite direction from what I'm pointing right now? To me, this is up. To him, that's up. Because he's on the other side of the world. I know I've been there. It's the other side of the world. So let's get out the old slide rule. Jesus is going up to heaven from Mount Olivet. The Mount of Olives is out here on the east side of the city of Jerusalem. Let's figure the latitude and the longitude of the Mount of Olives. This is kind of like launching a rocket ship from Cape Canaveral. You've got to take into consideration the time of day that it happened. You've got to figure in the speed and the angle of his takeoff. And also consider that at the time he leaves the ground, this earth is rotating at the speed of slightly over 1,037 miles an hour. Now, Brother Sam, that's faster than you can drive on a German Autobahn. Isn't it strange that we're here, it doesn't bother us a bit, and this earth is turning under our feet at 1,037 miles an hour? Seems like you just whiz off into space. Thank God for gravity, huh? At the same time that the earth is turning 1,037 miles an hour, it is orbiting the sun at 6,671 miles an hour. This earth is never still. This earth is never in the same place in space twice. Now, thank God for scientists. Scientists tell us that this earth on which we live, by the way, somebody sent me an email, and I was looking at this just last night. The earth and the planets in our solar system, Saturn and Mars. By the way, you heard about it. Mars is going to be in sight August the 27th, this coming month. This will be the only generation that will ever get to see Mars. Everybody that's on the Earth will be dead before it ever gets in sight again like that. But it will be rising, and it will be, they tell us, it's going to be about the size of, when we see it, of our moon out here, and it's going to rise and be kind of alongside the moon. I don't know, but let's look for it. August the 27th. People haven't seen it that close to Earth for, I don't know, thousands and thousands of years. But anyway, this earth is 24,901.55 miles around at its equator. The entire surface of this earth is 196,950,769 square miles. 57,469,928 square miles of it is land. 139,480,841 square miles of it is water. The earth rotates on its axis from west to east once every 24 hours at the speed of 1,037.56 miles per hour. And at the same time the earth is rotating, it is hurling in space in orbit around the sun at about 6,671.33 miles per hour. That means that every year it travels 584,480,878 miles each year. We're never in the same place at the twice. Now this earth is 92,960,800 miles from the sun, which itself is rotating at 4,531.22 miles per hour from east to west once every 25 days. Somebody was telling the story the other night about the astronauts, the Polish astronauts that were going to the sun. Who told me that? Huh? Yeah, and somebody told him, says, well, you can't do that, you'd burn up. They said, no, we're going at night. This within our own galaxy, the sun and the solar system are hurling at 44,640 miles per hour, our whole solar system. Everything is moving in the direction of the distant star Vega in the constellation Lyra. And our Milky Way galaxy is hurling through space. I don't know where they get all these numbers. They figured it out at 375 miles per second. We're moving. Ooh, we're moving. That's 1,350,000 miles per hour. Now I hope you remember all of this. Because we're talking about where is heaven and how does one get there? Is heaven even in our solar system? Our giant telescopes have never found it, if it is. The astronauts that have gone out have never seen it. And the space probes that we have sent out haven't found it. Where is heaven? Is it even in our universe? Modern astronomers say that it is at least 10 billion light years to the edge of the universe. Light travels at 186,282 miles per second. And the edge of the universe is at least 10 billion light years away. And what happens when you get to the edge? Is the universe flat like Columbus thought like the world was until Columbus proved differently? Do you just go out to the edge and drop off? If you do, what do you drop off into? Or do you just run into a brick wall? Where is heaven? Is it inside our universe or outside? Is it in another dimension in our universe? Or is it on another planet within our galaxy where God sits on his throne and rules and reigns? Where is heaven? If you plan on getting there on your own, you'd better find out, otherwise you might miss it. Don't say, well, I'll wait until I die and take my chances. Because if you don't know where it is and can't find it while you're here alive, how in the world do you think you're going to find it when you're dead? There's no knowledge in the grave. You go out here to any cemetery and you exhume any corpse out of any grave. Now, can those decaying bones come back to life and raise themselves from the dead and find heaven on their own? I don't think so. What if that body was cremated and its death and its ashes were scattered to the four winds? That's even going to make it harder for them to find heaven after they're dead. Now, I'm not smart enough to figure it all out. That's why I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to get me there.
Amen.
I can't trust the words of any man. And I'm glad that I don't have to make it on my own. I wouldn't know where to start. Jesus said that when you get there, you've got to go through a door. John talks about a door being opened in heaven. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That rules out everybody else. And I challenge you to mentally step out somewhere in space and take a good, hard look at this planet Earth and see its moon and its sun and the blackness of outer space. Then I want you to see yourself as a minute creature, not as big as a bug, on this little old planet. And I want you to see your mortality. And regardless of how long or how short your stay on this earth may be, we know that it's eventually going to end in death. And I want you to consider how permanent death is. What will happen to you when you die? You have God's word that you are a soul and that you are immortal and that death is not the end. I suggest you make things right with God because he's the only one that can get you out of the grave on resurrection day. We can form a work party and go out to the cemetery and dig up your body, but it's only going to be a skeleton of bones when we find it. And only God can cause those dead bones to live again. Good living on your part is not going to fill the bill, because the good die right alongside the bad. How does one get to heaven? I still don't know where it is. I know who's there. I know a lot of people that are there. But on my own, I couldn't find it. Not even with one of these things that you put in your car and give it name and address, and it tells you where to turn and where to go. How does one get to heaven? The way is a person. The way is a man, the man Christ Jesus. We read in Acts, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now Jesus came from heaven, wherever it is, to this earth. We know where the earth is. We know that. We were born and raised here. And after he stayed here for a while, he went back to heaven. We read that. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10 tells us, he that descended, that's Jesus, he that descended, came down from heaven, is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He knows the way. He is the way. He is the only way. Without him, there's no going. Do you know of any other way? Do you know of any other person? If you do, come and tell me, and we'll compare him with Jesus. If you can find a better way, you let me know. But until somebody tells me differently, shows me something better, my bet is on Jesus. I'm trusting him to do it. And he's the only one that can. And it tells us in this book, he's the only one. You can join the Muslim religion if you want to. You can become a Buddhist. You can become a Hindu. I don't care what your religion is. The question is that when this life is over, what's going to happen to you? Who's going to get you out of the grave on Resurrection Day? Only Jesus. Do you know him today? Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we bow today in faith, knowing that you are our God. You've given us a book. You've given us your Son. And he's told us how to get to heaven. We still don't know where it is, but we're trusting you to take us there when this life is over. We place our faith and trust and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, that he might prepare us spiritually to enter into that beautiful place called heaven. We sing about it, we preach about it, we write poems about it, but none of us have ever seen it. We believe that our loved ones who have passed from this life are there. We believe in a day of reunion. Our faith, our hope is in you. if there's one here today that does not have that hope in their hearts, I pray that today the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts and cause them to realize that heaven is a real place and that Jesus is going to take us there when we die. In His name we pray. Amen.
487.
Congregation, I hope that today I've said something that will at least cause you to think. All right? Think about the Lord. Brother John, will you lead us in our benediction, please?